Mr. Catroni.
Eric Johnson.
What a year this has been.
This is crazy to think that, well, we've been at this thing all year, and here we are coming down to the end of the season. We're past the holidays, and it's just amazing. The things that we've talked about throughout the year and the things we experienced, you know, Mile High Profit Summit, right? We had Steve's Truth Hike. And the things we've taken away from that and the people we've met, you know, something in common that we see often within the group is people asking, and it was at the Truth Hike, why people leave a group like ours. Let's talk about that a little bit.
Why do they leave?
You know, I think, you know, as you and I are the coaches, we get to see a report that comes across daily of people that come in and people that go out. And a lot of times when I see these names, I just look at them and I just don't know who these people are. Do you see that too?
Oh yeah, absolutely. It's like when they leave, it's like, who's that?
Yeah.
And I have to go back and, I welcome them in. I remember that part, but I haven't seen any engagement.
No, I know. It's, you know, so I think the intention was to do something great. It's like joining a gym or joining a weight loss group and having the best intentions, but then just doing nothing with it because they think that they would have the time to seriously create the time. And they drop out because, hey, I'm not doing anything. I'm not going to the gym anymore. So why even pay the monthly membership? And where they put that separation from failure, meaning giving up on themselves or giving up on their business, I have no idea, but I know that's got to be something they carry with them. And I feel for them. But a lot of times as coaches, we want more for people than they kind of want for themselves.
Yeah, that is a fault of coaches.
Yeah, I don't know if it's a fault or not. I want to love on everybody. They have to be loved on. With a lot of times what I see with people joining is they really don't know where they're headed. And I remember years ago, probably about seven or eight years ago with Tom, with our business, we weren't really sure where we wanted to be. So we had sat down with Tom. It was in New York, Pennsylvania. And Tom asked my wife, my son, and myself to write down where we see ourselves in 5 years. It was a long-term goal, but he asked us to do it separately. Have we ever talked about that before?
I don't know. I thought I knew all the stories.
Yeah.
So good and bad.
What he said to each of us was to go home, write down what your 5-year vision was, where you see yourself 5 years, and then we'll schedule a call. We'll get on a call together and we'll talk about what we see, but to do it separately, don't do it together. Well, I'm sure exactly what Tom wants us to do. I knew what he wanted us to do. I knew it. So I went home and a day later, I sat down at my desk and I was going to write down where I see myself in 5 years. And as I sat and looked at that paper, I'm like, what did Tom want me to do? So I pick up the phone and I call Tom. He says, yeah, he says, look, it's like this. He goes, write down, say you're dating a piece of paper and it's 5 years from now. You're writing down what you see. Talk about what your business looks like. Talk about how much money you have in the bank. Talk about the trips you have planned. And you have to be crystal clear. It's like a girl on her wedding day. You know, say she's like 12 years old and she imagines what a wedding day is. She's going to be very explicit what she sees. She can tell you what color shoes the groom's going to be wearing, what color belt he has, what car she's driving, what the sky looks like. She'll be very clear. I want you to be crystal clear on that. Once he said that, I was cool with it and I went to work on it. So I drew up this vision of where I was in 5 years. And then we got on a phone together and we were having issues within the company where I just didn't feel my son was on the same course I was. And I just didn't see it working out. After that, we got on the phone with Tom and we each read our vision separately. We were on a call together, I guess the calls are linked together. And we each read our vision to each other. And wouldn't you know, Derek, even though we thought we were going in a separate course together, we were reaching the same destination. We had the same vision. But yet I didn't think we were rowing in the same direction at all. But here's the difference. Here's the difference, right?
Right.
I'm an older dude. My son's obviously younger. He's my son. There's a big age difference. With me in my life, I'm more a person that's on the highway because my time, I feel there's more years behind me than ahead of me. With my son, who's younger, he may be taking the coaster route, taking the longer way around things. Even though I think that sometimes that we're rudderless. Did I say that right? Rudderless?
Rudderless.
Yeah. That we don't have a plan to get somewhere. It's like there is a plan. It just doesn't look the same because of age. And it was at that time I realized that it's like, we are on the same team. We are going the same place. And it may seem rudderless at times, but now I look back at what we've developed over the past 5 years. And I want to bring out, Derek, that this vision that I created, we went back and we looked at these visions last year. And wouldn't you know, as you can imagine, everything we wrote down on the paper is pretty much true, but better. You know, I envision having new work trucks. I envision having money in the bank. I imagine all these things. I imagine retiring from my full-time gig back then. I imagine the clothes I would have. I would imagine the trips I would go on. And it surpassed everything I've written. And it didn't happen just because I got lucky.
No, it was intentional.
And by writing this down. So what I want to talk about, and I know I've gone a long way around with the story, as I sometimes do, is sometimes we're rudderless. And I think that's what happens when people join a group. They think they have some sort of direction, but yet they can see it so far away, but they don't know how to get there. So they're going through the motions, but rather going in a straight line, they're zigging and they're zagging, or they get on the coastal route instead of they want to be on the highway. It's the right destination, but the wrong direction, how to get there.
Well, what we have is we have the rudder, and that's what this is. That's what this group is about. And when people see from the outside what they think it is one thing. But when they get in here, they have to decide if they want to be on that boat going to that destination. Because we've got the rudder. You just got to get in the boat. But not everybody likes the boat. And I think that's what separates the people that come in here and why we don't see them. And I think that's okay, because when you come here and you find your tribe, you found your people, and it sticks. But it has to be so clear. So you and Sean and Janelle putting that stuff on paper, it actually becoming better than you thought, it's because you made a plan. And then here we are wrapping things up into the year. And we look back, we go all the way to the end of 22, jumping into 23. And we had a plan to where we wanted to go and how we wanted to land there. And here we are. And yes, you do have to zig and zag, but that's okay, because at least you're in a strong boat, a powerful boat, something that's going to stay upright. And there's going to be challenges, but that's the point. And it's about the journey. Like, you have to join this stuff and get involved in this to go on the journey of life. Because if you just get to the destination like super quickly, it's just like, oh, cool, we're here. I thoroughly enjoy the journey. I never thought I would say that. And I look back at all the struggles and the trials and the tribulations and the self-loathing, all those days that get me to a point that a couple of years ago, I got comfortable and was extremely uncomfortable with it.
You know, we're in the midst of these struggles, like you say. It's like, what was that book, The Iliad and the Odyssey? You know, it's the trip. It's not the destination. It's getting there. And it's uncomfortable. I remember losing my shit on a lot of things along the way. And I wish I could see. I mean, if I had a crystal ball back then, and that's, I think, what Tom Reba was leading me to. It's like, if you had a crystal ball, map out exactly what you see on this day in 5 years from now. What does it look like? And write that down. So look, I know it's the end of the year, and I'm going to challenge people who are listening, is to sit down. And this is what Tom did for me. I mean, write down exactly where you see yourself in 5 years. And if you can't see 5 years, do 3 years. Don't do a year. Do it out there. And like the wildest imagination. I mean, just put it out there. Because once you write something down, it's crystallized in time. It can't be changed. And put it away.
And I like how you say that. It has to be. And you know, everybody hates that when you're in a job interview. And it's like, where do you see yourself in 5 years? Well, that's a pretty damn important question. Like, it really is, for the employer and for yourself. But you have to, and I like how you say wildly and with imagination, because it's going to happen if you follow the steps, and you have to become a different person. And that's what I heard at the Prophet Summit this year. I'm not sure who shared it, and I think it was Tom actually. And you have to have a goal so big to truly become someone different. And you have to become someone different. In 5 years, you shouldn't even recognize yourself. Because if you do, you're still the same person. You're kind of reaching out only a year goal, only a month goal, or whatever that is. And you're not pushing yourself. You have to push yourself. And I get it. It's not, you don't have to like wake up at 4 a.m. You don't have to do 75 hard. Like, you don't have to do all these crazy things that everybody's suggesting, because that's what's in socials now. It's like, you have to be so uncommon. I do understand that. But you could also just set your goals, prepare it, and enjoy the whole thing and not kill yourself. It's okay to just get things done and enjoy it. But you have to become someone different. You cannot stay the same, or you'll simply just be the same.
Right. Like, I'm thinking what you're saying, and I'm thinking, what parts of my life has changed, and what parts I have to go back to the document. What parts I really harped on. So there was categories I put things in. One was financial, because I was in a bad place. Another thing was my relationships, all right, with my wife and with my family, my kids. Okay. Another one, where do I see myself with my leisure? What was I doing with my free time? Because I had no hobbies. I was always working, and I always felt that was my hobby, because that's the way I was brought up. It was hard work. You know, another thing was clothes, and I had work clothes. That's what I had. You know, a couple pair of jeans, and that was it. Because that was my life. I worked and went home. If the road wasn't paved, I would have a rut. So just going back and forth, I'd be in this deep rut, going back and forth.
I've seen your wardrobe change. So as you say that, like, I've literally witnessed it.
Yeah. If you know, honestly, if it wasn't for my wife, I'd be wearing the same old ratty clothes, because she knows you have to look to what you are. You have to look the part. You have to.
Yes.
And I mean, it's kind of crazy, Derek. You know, if you dress up, you feel different. And even, you know, back into the, if you have a car, you wash the windows, you feel different about the car. It's how you see it, how you witness the world. And dressing the part is important. I'm not saying, you know, you put a suit on to go mow the lawn or anything like that, but you freaking got to look like, you know, feel like good.
Be good. Well, Guy Ritchie, it was this podcast that I watched one time, and he said, either the man wears the suit or the suit wears the man. And it was a pretty interesting podcast, because he talks about the suits that they were tailor-made, and said his suits like feel like pajamas, but they're suits.
Yeah. And you know what, Derek? It doesn't have to be a suit. You don't have to spend a lot. You can buy a new pair of shoes or a pair of sneakers that, like, I never thought I'd own Brooks, or I never, whatever they are, you know, it's like, go buy that pair. And I know back then, you know, I remember going all buying and spending a lot of money on a jacket, just a coat. And I had it embroidered with the company logo on it, and how much I sold more because I felt like I was better than what I was.
You're putting on your uniform. Like, you're putting on your armor. Like, you're going out to war, if you will. You're going to work because you're wearing that thing. I feel different when I'm at the garden center and I'm in civvies versus my work stuff. And I stop to ask a customer if they need help. It's like, I'm not even in my uniform. Like, just, am I going to sell as much?
Yeah. Let's go back to that rudder a little bit, dude. Because, you know, the direction that we have, and as far as I'm concerned, you know, the contract to fight the battleground, there is no better coaching program out there, period.
100%.
All right. So not, you know, I mean, I truly I drink the Kool-Aid. I believe it. 100%. I endorse us, because I think what we have to offer and what Tom has put together in the team is something that everybody should have.
Fighters, most contractors are undercharging for the value that they bring. We're always preaching, you got to get a 50% gross profit on your work. So many of you, so many contractors are confused on how to do that. And that's why we have our 50% sheet. It's free. You just download it. You have instant access. If you want to grab it, head to contractorfight.com/50 and start dialing in those numbers and making the money that you deserve. It's time to quit stealing from your family. Go to thecontractorfight.com/50.
It was recently, within the last 2 days, I received an email from a pond builder on the other coast. He was young. I think you said he was 19 or 20 years old. And he wanted my input on what it would look like for me being a CAC, what kind of advice I would pass on to him. All right. So he found me somehow through a CAC search, which is a certified aquascape contractor, right? We're certified and we're findable. So he reached out to me. And I think what he was, because he's reaching out to me, he doesn't know who I am. He wants to know what kind of insight it would be into building a pond, right? He's honing his skills. He's building a pond. It's like, you know me, Derek. I don't, you know, I mean, I'm not going to give him advice on how to dig a hole.
That's funny. Do you even know how to build a pond?
Yeah. No, I know how to load a wheelbarrow. I swear to God, I've worked more in my life with my hands. The thing was, this kid, he's 19, 20 years old. The best advice I can give to anybody who's thinking about doing something for themselves, is get some business training. He has zero direction, except that he knows he has a shovel and a wheelbarrow and he can dig a hole. That's what his focus is right now. His focus is on digging a hole. For me, hey, you know what? If you have training and you have a rudder and you know which direction you go on, I don't care if you're selling ponds, shoelaces, or doorknobs. It's all the same. It's all the same, but you have to have the foundation to build something on top of. Because you can build $1 million house company, building company, contracting company, pond company, whatever it is. But if you don't have a foundation, it's a one-hit wonder. You'll be out of business in a couple of years, because it's not, what do you call it? It's repetitive business. It's not going to recreate itself every year. It's going to be a struggle. Right. It'll be Groundhog Day every January 1. Let's start over again.
Yep. Did that for 19 years.
Yeah. But, you know, I just want to ask it. How did that feel, Derek?
Ignorance is bliss. You know, you get better. You get a little bit better each year because you learn from your mistakes and you make a lot of them. But it took so long. And then getting in the right boat, finding my tribe, it just sped up everything and in the best possible way. So I'm certain now in the last 8, 9 years, there's mistakes that I don't even know because I didn't make them. which is fantastic. And when I speak to young contractors and they ask similar questions like that, one of the first things I go to is like, do you know your numbers? Like, let's start there. If you're talking about a business, let's just start there. And that's the rudder, right? That's the, okay, now this is going to get you going in the right direction. And then, because there's a lighthouse out there for a reason. And if you have a rudderless boat, you're going to crash on the rocks. And you see the lighthouse and it just draws you right in. The lighthouse is saying, hey, here's the rocks, they're right here. But somehow we still find our way there. But once you put that rudder in, you get the clear direction. And it's that vision statement, like you talked about, like you created that. And that's so important. And I'm just, as we're wrapping this up, and I'm thinking of what I wanted, what I put in place, the direction I was going, what my team's accomplished, and it was all talked about. It was a very specific direction. And we've actually, not only have we made it, we've surpassed. And that's what happens every single time. If you take the initiative, the plan, and to go farther out, go 3 years, 5 years, and you really plan that stuff out, and you really go wildly, it will happen. Yeah. Only if you put in the effort to get there.
I remember it was a conversation, and I'm not sure who it was with, but somebody said, hey, what do you see yourself in your business next year? And I says, we're going to do $1 million in business. And the person asked, said, hey, what would you do last year? I did 100,000. I'm like, and the answer was, in a kind way, that's a very lofty goal. I never forgot it.
Mm.
Like, what does that mean? It's like, well, you can try if you want. Chances are you're not going to get to 1 million from 100. Or, you know, I had nothing. So to put a goal out there, that's setting yourself up to fail. So I can say, hey, let's double it. Let's triple it. But from 100 to 1 million, 5 years, yeah. Yeah, you can do that in 5 years. Absolutely. Absolutely. Sure. Compounding. But yeah, so set the goals. So, I mean, and to say if you're running a business right now, it's $300,000 a year business, and you only get to 1 million in 5 years. Yeah, all day long. Not a problem. If I could, that's one thing. If I was a fortune teller, I would feel extremely confident that if you did the steps that the contractor fight, that the battleground program puts you through, if you did that for 5 years, there's no reason, none, that you wouldn't be 1 million+.
How many times have we seen that? Like it's like every year it's another, because now we've been doing this long enough. We're at that 5 year point, 6 year, 7, 8 year point, and we've got these other people that have been coming up with us. So let's say we have a 10 year span, and we're seeing the lots and lots of people. Now, is their bottom line on point? Maybe not perfect, but they're hitting 1 million. That's always kind of the goal. It's like every company wants to hit 1 million.
Yeah.
Well, what's it going to look like when it's a $5 million company? Do you want that?
And we've had conversations with people doing $10 million a year and putting less than, you know, $100,000 in their pocket a year. I want $1 million. I want $1 million company. I want to put a couple $100,000 in my pocket. Two,
absolutely.
Three, four. I'd like to put that in my own personal pocket, because that's what it's about. A lot of people are romantic with their business. It's like they love their business. They want it. They want to nurture it and all that. And I think it's important to be proud and protect your company and your culture. This business is transportation for me to have enough money so I can retire comfortably.
Yeah.
And when I'm done, the company will still be there. It's like, that's my vision of the company. It's still going to be there. I can pass it down. I can, you know, hand it off to my son, or I can just decide if we want to sell it or whatever we want to do with it. I'm going to nurture it, but it is an ATM machine. That's what it's meant to do. It's meant to create revenue for me.
And the reason that's going to happen, it's going to happen for all of us that are doing this and have been in the game long enough, is because we've seen the other people do it. We're just following the path. We're just in their boat, and the seats are changing. You know, I think it's you, or were you the one that would always talk about the seat on the bus? Or maybe that was Steve.
Steve and I met on the bus. So yeah.
That's fair. Maybe not on this conversation, this particular pod. We talk about that. Great story though.
Yeah.
But I think that we're just following the steps of the others. And the best part is too, when I think of other mentors that we've had, they look down and go, wow, you're actually surpassing me. And you're actually doing better than me in these things. And that's if people come into this group, and if they just don't, it's like Velcro. You got to be willing to stick onto this. And if it doesn't make sense, so I think that's what happens, Tim, is a lot of people join and we're just not their tribe. And our vision statement, our vision for what it is and what they do is just not what they want. Of course, there's some that just aren't willing to put in the effort. And that's, you know, how you do anything is how you do everything.
Yeah.
So that's, I'm sure that's not a uncommon thing. But man, the ones that do, it's so fun to watch. And like hanging out at the Truth Hike, that was fantastic. Like we were literally, I don't know, let's see, there's 1, 2, 3, 4, 5, sitting there with 5 millionaires. And maybe one of us was a millionaire 5 years ago. Maybe.
Yeah.
But I don't even think that's true. And it's just like, but somehow we still get together and we still talk and we still grow and we still share. It's amazing.
Yeah. But, you know, the bank account, you know, I know we talked a lot this time about, you know, money, and it's not all about the money. It's just, for me, yeah, it is about money for me, but that's me, right?
This is a sales podcast. We're talking about money.
Yeah. I mean, if there's all these buckets in life, right? You get your health and you get your happiness and you get your family and you got, you know, the money bucket and you got all these things and you got to find some kind of balance. They all have to balance out somehow, because I could have this full money bucket where I have more money than I could ever use, but be in poor health. Then there's no sense in having it. So we have to find that balance. But like back to what Steve back in the day was, money makes a lot of bad things go away. And the real problems are the things that you can't throw money at and fix. Those are the things that are challenging, and we can get through that together with these on these things. Having that money bucket, that money checkbox checked off so you can really concentrate on the things that really matter in life is liberating. Do you know what your payday is in a week? Do you know what day you get paid?
On Thursdays.
Thursdays. And how do you know that?
Is when payroll goes through.
Yeah.
It's Friday. Technically. It goes through on Thursday, lands on Friday.
Yeah. I know it because I run payroll. That's why I know that. Other than that, I remember, you know, when I was working for the man, it's like, shit, I can't buy that. Paycheck will be Friday. I could probably go buy it Saturday. Or we can go food shopping on Friday night.
That's, wow. Man, that's been so long since I've thought about that, but you're exactly right.
When can I go food shopping? And you know what? And people think that's never going to happen to me. Yeah, it can happen. You can go shopping on a Monday night or Wednesday night or a Thursday night or whenever you want, because it doesn't matter what you have in the bank, because it's just going out because it's a necessity. It's a non-issue. You don't think about that. The things that really matter are the things about the fitness and your health and taking care of the people around you. That's where the real good stuff in life comes.
Yeah. Yeah.
If my wife and my son had never sat down with Tom, I remember it. I could go back to that place and sit in that same booth and say, look, I got some problems and I wanted to quit my job. I wanted to quit my full-time job and go full-time with Ponds. And Tom asked us to write down those goals where I would be right now.
Not only do you sit in the booth, I remember seeing the Facebook post. And not only do you sit in the booth, you sat there for breakfast and lunch. Did y'all sit there for dinner as well?
I don't remember.
You were there all day.
Yeah. Yeah, we hung out all day, man. It was an event. It was in New York, PA. And dude, it was the pivotal moment of my life. And it was like any other day when it was happening. But if you look back, that was the moment that there was a huge difference. And we didn't see it then. And now when I look back and I found that letter on my computer that I had typed up, that goal, that what I saw my vision of, I look at it now, I'm like, are you kidding me? And, you know, Sean and I were driving a couple of weeks ago and we talked about the old CSA, you know, prior to the battleground.
Yeah.
And we set our goals up when every time we had an event at Steve's house, and we had Steve used to frame them and give them to us. And we looked, and Sean says, you know, I found, you remember them?
I forgot about that. Yeah.
Like a diploma. And Sean says, I look at these things. I found it. I stumbled on it. I found this. And you know what? All these things are true. All these goals we set have come and happened. Is it rudderless, really? Are we just overcritical that we're not following something? It's like, no, it was intentional. We wrote this stuff down.
Yeah. And followed it. It just happens that way.
So
amazing.
Look, you hear it all the time from people who got their shit together, kind of. It's like, you got to make a plan. You got to write it down in order to know where you're headed. Because if you don't know where you're going, you are rudderless and you will crash on the rocks. And you know what? Dude, the zigging and zagging and trying to get to our destination is a long way to get there. I want to get there fast so I can check off that money bucket so I can do these other cool things. It's not just about traveling and going out to eat. It's about helping other people and creating the memories that you're never going to be able to create because you're stuck at sea with this rudder that you think it's working, just a stick. There's nothing at the end of it.
shark bit it off.
Yeah, right. And you're an idiot because you think that you're being directed, but you're really not. You don't have a rudder. You think you do.
No, you don't. So, well, Tim, let's wrap up 2023. I'm definitely looking forward to 2024. Looking forward to sitting down and creating the vision statement for what that's going to look like and preparing, because it's going to be a whole different year. And I'm very, very excited about that.
Yeah. You know, what would be a great gift for yourselves is, you know, whether it be the battleground or whether it be something, do something for yourselves to make 2024 a better year for you, your business, and your family. Figure it out, because Groundhog Day, man, I don't want to see anybody go through what we went through. for so many years. Figure it out. Create a plan. Do something better for yourself in 2024. You deserve it. You truly do. Derek, man, it's been a great year. Thank you so much, brother.
Thank you, dude. I'll see you next year.
Thanks, dude. Bye.